A third distinctive is creation. Now, both Judaism and Islam would embrace the same understanding of creation as is true of the Christian faith. But creation. Some years ago, a friend of mine was visiting in Tanzania. She used to be a teacher of theology in the Bible college there in Musoma, Tanzania, where I had lived. And she told me about going out into, she was now in retirement, and so she went back to visit her former students. So she went out into the bushlands of Tanzania to visit with some of the students that she had known over the years there in the Bible college. And she met this old man who came up to her and said, "Dorothy Smoker," her name was Dorothy Smoker, "you taught me something I will never, ever forget." And she said, "What was it?" "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Just absolutely revolutionary, you know, that God created the heavens and the earth. It reminds me of another Tanzanian I met with one time, a very old man now. He had been a Christian for many years. And I asked him, "How is it going with you?" He said, "When you get back to North America, go to the church that sent John and Catherine Leatherman here to our community as missionaries, and go to that church and thank them for sending John and Catherine Leatherman to live among us, because I worshiped the leopard. My tribe worshiped the leopard. We thought the leopard was God. And the leopard is terrifying. We were terribly frightened of the leopard, you know. And then these missionaries came with the Bible. And they turned to Genesis chapter 1. And in Genesis chapter 1, I read this astonishing revelation that God created the leopard." So the leopard is not God. The leopard is created by God. And so God is God, not the leopard. The leopard is just creation. That's all he is, you know. So I'm going to die soon, and I have no fear of death whatsoever, because when I die, I'm not going to meet a growly leopard. No, I'm going to meet God who created the leopard, and this God loves me. I know that through Jesus. So go back and inform that church how happy I am that they sent the missionaries who taught me that God created the leopard. Creation. God created. Absolutely a revolutionary notion. When you meet with our dear Buddhist friends and you ask, how did the world come to be? There's no answer, because there's no theology of creation, you see. But here in the Bible, this amazing revelation, God created the heavens and the earth. And as I said, that is the faith of the Abrahamic faiths. Both Judaism and Islam likewise proclaim with joy and confidence this surprising revelation that God is the creator and the sustainer of the universe. God created. Secondly is the person, that we are created in God's very own image. Both man and woman, very revolutionary. Some years ago, I was invited to speak to a group of Chinese professors and political leaders who were visiting the United States. And they wanted me to speak to them on ways in which the Christian faith influences Western culture, American culture particularly, a brief 30-minute speech. And so I said to them, well, I think very significantly it is the biblical revelation which says that we are created in God's image. This means that whether you are Asian or African or European or from the islands of the sea, everyone created in God's image, which is to say we need to respect the person and we need to honor their dignity and respect their freedom. And it means that that human rights becomes a very important component in our relationships with one another. So I said, this talk about human rights, don't blame the U.S. government for concern about that. This is centered in biblical faith, which reveals to us that we are created in God's very image. I said, this means that man and woman equally created in God's image. And when I said that, why, the women started shouting at the men and the men at the women with very, very much vigor. And I was very happy about that because it meant I had been heard, you see. Because in many cultures, it's quite a stretch to believe that man and woman are equally significant, you know. But if we're created, man and woman, both in God's image, that means both are equally important and equally significant. Both are very precious in God's sight, whom we should love and respect and honor and treat kindly and encouragingly, you know. Created in God's very own image. Who is the person? What is the person? All of those themes which emulate from the very first chapters of the Bible are extremely significant, and in fact become the bedrock of the commitment by the United Nations and so forth to human dignity and the freedom of religion and that sort of thing. I get invited into universities occasionally to speak on the themes of human rights and human dignity and so forth. And I always base those presentations on Genesis chapter 1, right there in the beginning of the Bible, the very first pages of the Bible. God created Adam and Eve in his own image. Very, very revolutionary stuff. The biblical understanding of sin, that the conviction in the Bible, the revelation in the Bible, that we have gone astray, something has gone wrong with us in our relationships with one another and with creation and with God. You pick up any newspaper in any country, anywhere in the world, every day, you see these accounts of sin, of people going wrong, living destructively instead of creatively and constructively. I think that is the one biblical doctrine that has solid scientific empirical proof. Any newspaper that you pick up, you see the proof, the evidence of our going astray. And why is it? What happened that we went astray? It's through the window of choice. We've chosen to go against God. Right at the beginning of human history, Adam and Eve turned away from God. And all of us know what that is about. For all of us in various ways participate in that turning away from God. And so biblical faith offers, by God's grace, a remedy, a healing, a transformation, a new creation. And biblical faith is very, very much about that. God acting to redeem us from our sinfulness, to bring about a new creation, to rescue us from our sinfulness, to bring about a healing of those relationships. But biblical faith takes sin very, very seriously. Except for Jesus, every biblical figure had flaws, all of them. Missed the way in various ways. Even Abraham, the father of faith, told a lie about his wife 2 times. And had terrible conflict in his home between Isaac and Ishmael. He's the father of faith. He missed it so terribly, you see. Every biblical figure, you see this realism about our sinfulness is there. That's distinctive of biblical faith. The realistic look at sin, it doesn't put it under the table and hide it. It proclaims it clearly what's going on.
We strive to serve the contemporary Christian community with a variety of Christian educational and evangelistic resources. To see TVS Seminary's database, please visit tvsseminary.com.